Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Good afternoon, everybody. Bob Getty and Dancing Kelly Sander. We're in the First Bank Studio in Hattiesburg this afternoon for another edition of the Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us around the network, online, wherever you may be tuned in. Luke will be joining us momentarily from Laurel, and we're glad you're here. Opening segment of the show, sponsored as it is every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of Southern Miss Athletics and the Eagle Hour, and a great place to enjoy food with your family 7 days a week, and a great place to call the next time you have an event you want catered. Dickey's Barbecue can do that. All right, lots of speculation. We're going to be talking about it later in the show regarding supposedly this move for Southern Miss to another conference, Conference USA teams moving to another conference. Lots of things to unpack, but we'll just tell you a little tease. There's nothing official. There's a lot of chatter, and there are a lot of quote-unquote experts on social media, but as far as anything official, that has not happened as of today. What is happening, though, is we have one of the great baseball players from Southern Miss Baseball with us on the show today. Walker Powell just finished an outstanding career. 6 years, I believe, on the Golden Eagle pitching staff, and really, the bell cow here in the last couple of years, the main guy on the pitching staff, Mr. Dependable, a guy that just didn't do anything but produce outs and wins. Walker, it's great to have you on the Eagle Hour. How are you?
I'm good. Thank y'all for having me. It's good to be here.
6 years on the program. Did it seem like it went by fast, or did it seem like a long time for you?
Man, you know, the 2016 through 2018, you know, those went by a little slow, but I tell you, 2019 through 21, those went by real quick. I don't know what it was, but maybe it was the injury in 2020, or, you know, getting hurt at the end of 2016, sitting out all 2017, you know, watching the team hosting a regional at home, so that was tough. But then after I got back in there, it stuff flies by.
You know, Bob, you called him Mr. Dependable, but the guys were joking that if he was on the team any longer, they were going to change his name from Mr. Dependable to Mr. Depends.
You were with us a while. You and Montenegro, y'all are competing for the longest stint on the program. Walker, I know I'm pretty familiar with Arkansas, and I know how far it is to Fayetteville, Arkansas from here. Go back to the beginning. Tell us how your journey took place from Fayetteville to Hattiesburg.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously grew up in Fayetteville, about 10 minutes from the University of Arkansas campus, you know, so grew up a Hog fan, you know, my whole life. And I wasn't, I was the number four starter on my high school team. You know, I was a late bloomer. You know, I'm still kind of filling into my body a little bit even today. So I didn't get much exposure in high school. So that, you know, that told me my junior year came around and, you know, I needed to go play travel ball somewhere else, you know, to get noticed. And I landed with a team called the Upstate Mavericks out of South Carolina. And we went down to Atlanta, Georgia to play a tournament. And actually, funny enough, I was pitching against Nick Sandlin's team. And Coach Federico, the old pitching coach, he was there watching Sandlin. And he saw me pitching against him. And, you know, that's when he took a liking to me, and he, you know, that's when our relationship started. And so Coach Federico was the one who initially started recruiting me. you know, got me down there on a visit and stuff, and ended up falling in love with it, the culture down there, the football, the, you know, the atmospheres, you know, and just, you know, the people in general. It's great.
Yeah, so that Sandlin guy, he didn't really turn out to be much of anything, did he? He was kind of overrated.
That's right, yeah. He's not too good, is he?
So, Walker, how tall were you then when you first met Coach Fed?
I was 6'6", I believe.
Okay, so you were still a long drink of water then.
Yeah, absolutely. My whole life, yeah, I've been one of the taller guys.
And growing up that close to the University of Arkansas, because I know, and I hear this a lot from baseball players in particular that are born and raised around the Hattiesburg area, they'll always tell you that you know, somewhere down the road, that they would have loved to have been a Golden Eagle, but it just didn't you know, they didn't fit in at that time. Did you ever have that feeling of, gosh, you know, I loved my time at Southern Miss, but I really, really deep down inside wanted to be a Razorback?
You know, no, honestly, no.
Wow.
Maybe before I got to Southern Miss, I'll be honest. Yeah, you know,
sure.
You know, growing up in Fayetteville, you know, every kid's dream to, you know, go be a Razorback. That's the team you root for, you know, SEC, all that. But, you know, with the, you know, the problem with those big schools, and I think Mississippi has too, like with Ole Miss and Mississippi State, you know, they don't have to give guys the benefit of the doubt. You know, they have the, you know, the financial resources to go out and just get the best guys every year, you know. And so a lot of guys, me included, you know, I felt, you know, overlooked. So, you know, it hurt at first that, you know, not getting a chance up there. So, but that just gave me, you know, another chip on my shoulder, and that just made me love Hattiesburg even more.
So what about your skill set when you originally met Coach Fed? Of course, Federico, now the head coach at Louisiana Monroe in the Sun Belt Conference. But when you
heard of that conference,
yeah, when you met Coach Fed, what was it about your skill set at that time that he was intrigued with, you think?
Well, one thing he said to me was he loved how I handled adversity. You know, I was playing on this South Carolina team that, you know, we weren't the best, but you know, we had some good guys go places and stuff like that. But, you know, there was a lot of defensive errors. And it just so happens the game I pitched, we had like 3-4 errors and, you know, 2 innings that I pitched, just, you know, buffing ground balls and, you know,
right,
dropping fly balls. And he saw me handle that. He saw no emotion out of me. And, you know, I didn't get down on myself, didn't get up, didn't get, you know, I was an even keel the whole way. And he really liked that. And that's, you know, I was a strike thrower back then too. So fastball, you know, was 87, whatever back then.
Yeah.
You know, I could just throw all the pitches for strikes. So I think he just, really what y'all kind of see now, just the even keel, you know, just consistency. I think that's what he saw back then.
So you're dealing with adversity as if being born in Arkansas isn't bad enough. Right.
Don't listen to him. Arkansas is a great state. I vacationed many a time in the Ozark Mountains, and I bet you have too, right, Walker?
That's right. Yeah. I love Mississippi, though. Love it.
So, Walker, after the injury, I mean, what was the magic sauce? Because it did seem that after you had the surgery, you really blossomed more than you ever had before, and I think it's fair to say you became the donkey of the pitching staff. So, what was the secret sauce there?
Well, yeah, I think just really, you know, I think Coach Oz played a huge role. He was a huge role in my development mentally after that second injury. You know, because I had Tommy John twice. I had it once in high school. You know, my senior year, didn't play much. My senior year. And then I had end of freshman year, 2016, here at Southern. But Coach Oz, he was the one that me and him just, we related a lot. We connected a lot. And, you know, he's great at doing that. He's one of the best coaches I've ever had. And, you know, he just pushed me every day. And that Tommy John rehab, it's tough, man. It's, you know, it's a long process. And if you're not motivated, yeah, you can get lost in it pretty quick. And you can get behind, you know, the schedule and all that. So he's real good about, he's a drill sergeant out there, man. He'll put you to work. And, you know, that's what I needed, especially after that second injury. You know, I was thinking to myself, like, man, like, this has already happened twice, you know, how much more am I going to be able to keep going? And he was the one always in my ear saying, you can come back as good as you want to come back. And, you know, that just stuck with me. And you know, I'll forever be grateful for him for that.
He is truly a great pitching coach, isn't he, Walker?
He's one of the best, man. I was joking with him. Whenever the LSU job was vacant for a little bit before that Arizona coach took it, I was thinking, like nobody else said, but I was like, man, I think Coach Oz might get a call.
We don't want him going anywhere, Walker. We like having
right,
him
yeah,
here to tell you
and,
the truth.
And I wanted to ask you back on the Tommy John surgery, Walker. A lot of people go, well, you know, once you have that Tommy John surgery and recover, you come back better than you were before. My experiences in talking to players who have gone through it have said that is not the case, that after you have Tommy John surgery, you are not as good as you originally were. You've been through it twice. What was your experience?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think it's different for every person, and I really think it depends on how you attack the physical therapy. I think that is, you know, 70% of it, of how you're going to come back. And I think everybody's different, because my first Tommy John, my ligament just didn't hold up. The ligament that they took out of my arm, it just broke. And you know, Dr. Kane down in Birmingham, the guy that did it, he said, yeah, some guys just, sometimes the ligament just won't hold up. And, I think it's just, yeah.
Just hold that thought, Walker. We're up against a heartbreak. We're going to continue our conversation with Walker Powell, Southern Miss baseball great, other side of the break. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back to the Eagle Hour. Luke is with us now. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart at campusbookmart.net. A great place to buy your Southern Miss apparel. You can buy it online at campusbookmart.net. You can shop 6 days a week on Hardy Street right across from the Southern Miss campus. We're talking to Walker Powell, a great pitcher for the Golden Eagles who has just finished his career. Walker, I'm going to take you back to earlier this year on a Friday night against Louisiana Lafayette, or the University of Louisiana, as they like to be called. I'm sure you remember that night pretty vividly. Am I correct?
I do.
Well, I want to tell you that, you know, in the dramatic inning when we were hitting all the home runs and Danny Lynch hit the home run and did the ultimate pimp dance around the bases, we actually owned that jersey here at the Eagle Hour. Luke bought that jersey in an auction. And Luke Johnson, great way for you to get in the conversation. One thing, Walker, he will not bring it to the studio where it should be hanging. He keeps it to himself. But we have that jersey, don't we, Luke?
We do. And Walker, it was purchased with my personal funds. Bob just likes to claim it as his because it's part of this radio show. But man, what an electric, and we'll talk about your role in that game the next in just a second, the next day. But you know, that was probably one of those most intense moments in probably the last, I don't know, 20 years inside the Pete, and happened your senior year. I mean, that was a pretty incredible inning, a pretty incredible night in intensity.
Yeah, it was, man. I remember coming into that series that we were all amped up, you know, because they had some hype around them, and especially their Friday night guy. You know, he had some real big hype, and we kind of took that personal. And, you know, especially Danny, he's the type of guy that, you know, to get under the opposing team's skin, he likes to do that. And, you know, you love having Danny on your team. And, you know, yeah, some stuff happened that game. Somebody got hit and forgot who it was. And then Danny kind of ran out there and kind of jawing back and forth and then hit that dinger the next at bat. You know, that was cool, man. That was real cool. I just remember that was a big series for us. So that was good to get that first win.
And then you come back the next day, throw 8 innings, strike out 10 of them. That was one of your best starts of the year against Lafayette.
Yeah, it was. I remember my changeup was the pitch that day. We knew they were super swing happy. They were one of the most swing happy teams we've ever played in my 6 years at Southern Miss, and that says a lot. We knew like they were swinging at literally everything. So that was a changeup that next day. Me and Oz talked about it, just a good game plan. And, you know, mixing up the, you know, speeding up, slowing down, if you just keep them in between like that, you know, we'd have a good chance to win, you know, against them. And we did. Executed.
Looking forward, you know, kind of the way this season unfolded, you know, it was back and forth, and we dropped a couple series in conference play. And you may have talked about this in the first segment. I was late to the party today, technology. But what really caught on with you guys in the conference tournament, but then particularly, you know, how incredible was it in the regional to beat Florida State and Ole Miss really in the same day and have a chance to win that regional?
Well, we were kind of in the same mindset for both things. I'll just talk about the regional. After we lost that opening game, Florida State, we had a meeting in the hotel that night, and you know, I remember I was one of the main ones talking, and I was actually coming back. I was actually late to the meeting. I was coming back from eating with my parents, so I walked in late. I ended up, you know, doing most of the talking, but I just kind of told the guys, you know, along with other guys too, you know, hey guys, like, this is where we're at. I know this is my last go around. This is me and Hunter Stanley's last go around, and you know, I told them the most dangerous fighters are the ones that got nothing to lose. And we had nothing to lose at that point. You know, we already lost. No one's expecting us to go beat Florida State and Ole Miss. Like, so it's like kind of like how do we want to write the script? How do we want to leave Oxford when letting them know that the, you know, the Golden Eagles came to town? And that's, you know, we kind of had a heart-to-heart moment with, like, the team with that. And, you know, we ended up going on a big roll. Bats came alive and, you know, that was fun, man. That was one of the best times of my life playing in that regional. And, you know, so it was great.
I wonder, as good a pitcher as you were, Walker, you were still named Walker. Do you think you'd even been better if your parents would have named you Striker?
Well, I think that's why I was Striker, because I was scared to be a Walker.
Yeah, you don't. Your career doesn't tend to do very well if you walk too many people, right?
That's right.
So tell us what you're doing now, man. What are you up to?
Well, so I'm with the Cubs now. Okay. You know, I'm going back. Spring training starts in March, and that's down in Arizona. So, you know, from now until then, I'm just working out, getting stronger. I'm actually living up here in Jackson, Mississippi, coaching some teams up here. And, mm-hmm. you know, just sticking to the routine of trying to, you know, gain weight, get stronger, and come back ready to with some vengeance next year, you know, because only got to throw about last 3 weeks of season this year, you know, after the draft, you know, so gotta come back next year for that first full year, just getting ready to do that.
Now, Bob Getty, would it not be cool to be in a profession where they told you that you had to put on some weight
before? Yeah, that's never, no one's ever told you that, have they, Kelly?
No. Ever. From
Kelly,
the womb.
Let me tell you something else. No one's ever going to tell you that.
No.
Going to tell you
as
that.
As long as I can get those five X's at Campus Bookmart, I'm okay.
All right, Walker, before we let you go, and we want you to know, man, we'll really be rooting for you. We love you, and we just think you've been a great, great part of our baseball program here. I want you to look back on 6 years, and I want you to tell our listeners if there's one day, one night, one game that comes to the top of your mind when you think back this early on your college baseball career?
It was my no-hitter on senior day.
Right.
That was one of the most special days of my life, you know, just because that was my last start at the Pete. You know, I've done so much growing up in Hattiesburg, so much, you know, maturing there. And to me, it was just a perfect, it was a storybook ending to me. I remember, you know, hugging Coach Oz, and we were both, you know, tearing up, and you know, that was just really special. So
kind of a storybook ending, really.
It was a storybook ending, you know? Yeah, that's exactly
final
right.
Final game, no hitter.
It's like a movie script.
Yeah,
almost.
We don't want to criticize Walker, but I mean, you did walk one guy that day, and it would have been a perfect game. So I mean, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Tough crowd.
Had to bring it up, didn't you?
Tough crowd, isn't it? Tough room.
Well done. Apart from that, I mean, you did strike out 12 guys that day, so well done.
Yeah, but Luke remembers the one walk. That's what you call holding a guy to high expectations, right, Walker?
That's right. Well, hey, that's what I remember, too.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware that you guys played the Detroit Tigers when you threw a no-hitter.
Everybody does that.
Everybody no-hits the Tigers.
Hey, Walker, we really appreciate your time, man. We wish you absolutely nothing but the best. We want you to carry that Golden Eagle blood with you all through your your professional baseball career, and want you to know you're welcome to come shoot the breeze with us anytime.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it, guys. And you know I'll be back to Hattiesburg, and we'll catch up soon.
You never know, Walker. We may be seeing each other. You never know.
There you go.
Hey, you never know. I got a feeling we will.
All right, Walker. Thank you, buddy.
All righty. I'll see y'all. Right.
Walker Powell, everybody. What a great kid.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's just not only a great baseball player, just a I think he exemplifies what we've grown accustomed to with the baseball program. Just a really good kid.
Down to earth.
Yeah.
You know, when I asked him to be on the show, he readily admitted. He said, look, I'm not a real media savvy kind of guy. You know, what would we talk about? And I said, your career. And I think he didn't say this, but he kind of had the look of like, why would anybody be interested?
Well, I'll say this, and Luke, you jump in on this. I think Walker Powell goes down as one of the top five pitchers in program history.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, when you look at the statistics, I know it was over 5 years, but 30 wins. Opponents hit a career 250 against him. He threw 340 innings. He had 10 complete games.
Wow.
And you look at the strikeout numbers. He struck out 275 batters in 340 innings. I mean, yeah, so as far as the numbers go, absolutely. And like you said, you know, when the curveball or the changeup was working this year so many times, I mean, he was just completely unhittable. When you look at, you know, what he did throughout, particularly his senior year, we talked about the 10 strikeouts and the 12 strikeouts. My question is, why would he be concerned about coming on here? We're not media savvy either. I mean, he'd blend right in.
This is a great show for people.
I think he thinks we're a big thing.
I don't think he's right. Kelly, you brought this up about Walker a few times during his career. 6'8", arm way up in the air. So when he's coming down at you and you're in the batter's box, that's a pretty difficult thing to deal with.
And it almost looks like his fingertips are at your nose.
Yeah.
You know, by the time it doesn't hurt. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah,
you know,
it makes it difficult on a batter.
Coming down at that angle. But I've always experienced, too, in covering sports all these years, that the bigger guys, and I don't necessarily mean heavy, I'm just a tall, the bigger frame guys, tend to be much more gentle than the smaller guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the smaller guys, you know, the small dog syndrome or whatever, the ones that are always yapping at you. But the big ones just kind of laid back and,
well,
you know.
He's a great kid. We appreciate him coming back on the show. I think he had been on the show once before, maybe around his, maybe at the end of his junior year. But he's going to be missed, and he's going to be tough to replace. There's no question.
This is why he made 14 starts this year for the Golden Eagles. 10 of them went 6 innings or more.
Oh, there you go.
9 of them went 7 innings or more.
That's what you call quality starts.
Walker Powell, everybody. We'll be back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Eagle Hour continues on a Wednesday. Fun to talk to Walker Powell. If you missed it in those first two segments, you can go back on demand or you can go listen to us on a podcast. If you're just joining us live now, go download the Eagle Hour podcast. It's found on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. Of course, you can go to the Super Talk website and, of course, always download our podcast and listen to us. We will admit, as we did last segment, that we're not media savvy. So Walker Powell, that's why he felt comfortable hanging with us on a Wednesday, is because we're just Southern Miss dudes that love our university and love to chew the fat, we shall call it,
every single day. Hey.
I didn't say you're fat.
Oh,
I said
okay.
Just fat.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Fourth Street sponsors the third segment of the Eagle Hour. And so lots of Major League Baseball. If you went yesterday to Fourth Street and watched the Dodgers and the Braves, you saw a heartbreaking loss for the Braves. Feel sorry for Trey Sutton. Still ahead 2-1, but man, how exciting it was when Bellinger hit the 3-run bomb. And I was actually for the Braves yesterday, but they got all the Major League playoffs. They got college football on. Southern Miss off this week, but Saints back on, all that at 4th Street Bar and Grill. All right, Luke, Kelly, and Bob.
Isn't there a Sun Belt game tonight?
Let me look that up. I mean, why are you – there's like something's blowing in the wind, Sunbelt related, Kelly.
No,
why would you just naturally throw that out?
It's either Sunbelt
or – You are correct, though. This is a trap game. This should be a pretty decent one. Coastal, 14th in the country, at Appalachian State. In Boone,
yeah,
at what they call the Rock. It's really not the Rock, but that's what they call it. Coastal, a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under in this game, guys, 61. Coastal, top 15 team. And so here's the thing. Let's just get right to it. More just speculation today. And, of course, we've been saying it the last several weeks. Just as soon as the American makes their decision and says what they're going to do, okay, here comes possibility Southern Miss to the Sun Belt. But one of the reasons that I think the fan base is so excited about this, and guys, I went on another program yesterday on Super Talk, and I brought this up. And for some people, you know, that were listening, it was surprising that Southern Miss wants to go to the Sun Belt. Why not the American? Guys, look at this. There's going to be games like this where Wednesday and Thursday nights on ESPN networks, where if you're in the Sun Belt, you're able to play. You don't have to go to stadium this week, ESPN 8 this week, you know, go find something this week. The Sun Belt will have possibly a better TV deal in the next 4 or 5 years. But the point I'm making is tonight, all alone on national television, there's a game. It's a good game in the Sun Belt, and Southern Miss fans, I think, want to be back part of that.
Let me say this about all the speculation. Kelly and I spent a lot of time in the media. We were both in the television journalism business for a long time. Now everybody's a journalist. Everybody that has a podcast, they're a journalist. They're an expert. They have all these sources. Easy when you're running a podcast to speculate about things, whether or not everything is lining up in that direction or not. But here's a fact. There's nothing official from the Sun Belt Conference. There's nothing official from Southern Miss. We, too, have pretty good sources here with Southern Miss. We'll tell you when it's official, but as of right now, this is not official. It may very well happen. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I'm saying it's not official.
Sure, yeah. And official means that there's something put out by the conference or by the school that says that. But there, you know, we say that, and we did the same thing. I mean, with Will Hall, you know, with the Will Hall hire, we broke it here on the Eagle Hour, and that was because it was imminent, and it wasn't just all signs pointing; it was imminent. But I mean, we're not going to go out and say that, but it does look like kind of behind the scenes,
yes,
things are slowly moving in that direction. Who knows? It may be, you know, as Jeremy told you guys on the Eagle Hour a few weeks ago, you know, it was decisions have to be made by a lot of people. And he said, you know, it could even be the end of this year.
Yes. And with the Will Hall deal, we had confirmation that the contract had been signed. And that's what Luke is saying. When the lawyers sign off on everything and then the conferences make their announcements, that's when it's official.
And the danger you run into of trying to quote unquote break a story before it's official, here's the danger you run into, is that in the happenstance that you are wrong, then your credibility is shot from then on.
Correct.
Because people will remember, oh yeah, just like you told us last time, this.
Correct.
And it didn't happen. And when you are a journalist, the truth, which in this country is getting very difficult to come by anymore, the truth is held in the highest regard. I remember back when President Reagan, the attempted assassination on President Reagan, James Brady, one of his cabinet members, you know, was struck in the head with a bullet. One of the networks reported that he had died. And as history will tell you, he did not die then. He has, you know, since passed in the last 10 years or so. But I'm just saying, can you imagine being a relative of Mr. Brady and hearing on national television that he had died when indeed he hasn't? Now, that's to an extreme, but I'm just saying, on whatever you're reporting, the truth is the utmost importance, and it cannot come back to bite you in the rear.
Right.
So you'd rather be right and late than wrong and early.
If you want to be credible, I mean, if you want people to see you as a credible source of information.
But isn't that what we're supposed to be.
That's what you're supposed to be. Whether you're whether you have a network radio show, you're a television sportscaster, or you run a blog, credibility should be your first priority. But we all know that that's really,
yeah, and
really
of course, and I look at social media and other things like that. I find social media very entertaining. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. I do. I find it very entertaining. And I think that most people that have a brain realize that it's fun to speculate. It's fun to look at the Massey ratings and see where we were are this week compared to last week.
That's not fun, Kelly.
Well, it hasn't been fun this year.
What's fun are the limbo videos of you on YouTube. Now that, that, ladies and gentlemen, is fun.
Nobody is supposed to even know those are out there. How low can you go?
At the small people's convention, no less.
Yes, that's right. But we value, you know, old school, we value that, being
correct.
Accurate.
Correct.
And we'd like to bring it to you and will as correct. Soon as all that is taken care of.
Correct, that's right.
Whatever the news is,
correct.
You know?
That's exactly right. Right.
So I just think people just need to be careful.
Just chill a little bit.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is going to happen. And it'll happen in its own time And being all up in a roar right now and trying to be the first person to predict what's going to happen, it really is pretty pointless.
And this you can believe.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Where's that voice coming from, Bob? And trust us.
Sounds like President Biden. Is he on the line?
And trust us, at mine and Bob's age, we're the first ones that want things to happen.
Pretty quickly.
We don't know how much time we've got left.
Hey, look, on another matter, I understand there was a pretty prominent guy at some of the baseball scrimmages, and I saw a blog where he said this is clearly a top 25 baseball program working.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball, of course, we've had his working partner, Kendall Rogers, and they put out some of the best stuff at D1 Baseball. But, yeah, he was swinging through the Southeast. I think he hit up Ole Miss on Friday or Saturday and then hit the Eagles up on Saturday. And one of the things that he said was just watching the inner squad, he was still high on Slade Wilks. Slade Wilks actually hit a pretty moonshot. I mean, a bomb in his first AB. Hit it off Hurston Waldrop, and Fitt was talking about the power of Slade Wilks. And then he bragged on Hurston Waldrop. He sat 93 to 95. He hit 96 one time and was talking about he was working on his curveball and a slider and a cutter. And then he just really bragged on the rest of the pitching staff, of course, Walker Powell, Hunter Stanley, and Ock being replaced, but really liked what he saw. He talked about Tyler Stewart, talked about Chandler Best. He said it was overall the inter squad was competitive back and forth, and he said this was Southern Miss was a quote easy top 25 team for him. So yeah. You know, one of the guys that watches all the teams in the country, that was pretty cool to have him at an inter squad. He's done that before, but just to see the quality that Coach Barry's going to put on the field
Wilks
this year.
Slade Wilks has scary batting power. You could see that at the end of the year. I think he's going to be a big star.
And he's still just a pup.
He's a baby.
Yeah, and he's still real young. But when you look at potential, you know, really good teams in this one, that's the first department you look at is how are they sitting pitching wise?
No, no doubt.
It's all about pitching.
No doubt.
I mean, I don't care what level it is. If you don't have pitchers, just like in football, if you don't have a quarterback or in our case, five quarterbacks, you know, you're in for what could be a long road.
Generally speaking, Kelly, there's not an iota of difference from position players in the top 30 or 40 baseball teams in college baseball. The difference is who's got the best pitching staff and how deep it is, and that's who's in the World Series every year. That's the difference.
Every strong team is built up the middle, pitcher, catcher, short, second, and center field.
Correct.
No disrespect to the other positions.
No,
but
you're
I'm
right.
Just that's where the bread and butter is, up
all
the
right.
middle.
One more segment to go on this Wednesday edition of the Eagle Hour. We don't want to interrupt Led Zeppelin too long. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment on this Wednesday brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. D1 Training on the right, DBAT on the left. Great stuff. They got a store in there. So Easton and Rawlings and all kinds of good stuff. DBAT, D1 Training, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Southern Miss football practicing today and tomorrow. They're off Friday and Saturday with the bye week. Practice this morning, 8:15 to 10:05. Tomorrow they will start at 8:35. So Southern Miss practicing and just trying to shore up a couple things. And I guess more than anything, guys, this week, physical break, but mental break needed for the Golden Eagle football team. As we reported yesterday, Ty Keyes will be redshirted. Reported also on social media. Chandler Pittman, it looks like, has a lower leg injury. He will miss the remainder of the season. So when it rains, it pours, but getting back after it today. And some things Will Hall said this week. I mean, just acknowledging he knows what it's like. He knows what it appears to be. He knows exactly what it is, and we're all just going to grind through it. So appreciate that.
Why the morning practices? You know, traditionally, you practice football in the afternoon. Do you have any idea why they practice at 8 o'clock in the morning, Luke?
Just something they decided to do as a staff. They started that, I think, some in the spring and just continued it over into the fall. And, you know, part of the idea is you're fresh in the morning and, you know, you got really the rest of the day to recoup and the rest of the day to plan. And so, yeah, it's just kind of a, if you think about it, once you're done for the week, you have, you know, more mental reps in and you can maybe implement things faster and then have more time to reflect on that versus, you know, when you're done at 6 in the evening, you know, the work day goes into the night. But it's, I think in some ways it's a better planning perspective.
When did Coach Bauer practice?
We practice in the afternoon, so we would go – we'd start meetings, 1:30, something like that, maybe a little before then. Most of the time we'd be on the field between 2:30 and 3, and then we would get an hour 45 at the max. We would go 2:15 or so, and then we'd have a couple meetings after.
I've actually heard some college coaches, not the Southern Miss coaches, but I've heard other college coaches endorse the morning practices because they liked it with their particular group. If you have a morning practice, what does that mean for the night before, for their players?
Yeah, they got to get up, go practice.
So they're going to bed early, and they're not going out and getting into trouble. Or at least the chances are, that's the way they viewed it, is that there was less chance.
I sure miss the Jeff Bauer days.
You know,
I miss the days of Golden Eagle football.
They're coming back, Bob.
I hope so.
They're coming back.
I hope so.
So, and actually, Conference USA begins its play for the week, Luke, tomorrow. I think they have a Thursday night game and a Friday night game as well. So Conference USA starting to dabble in the Thursday and Friday night thing.
We should mention, Kelly, Conference USA not coming back, okay?
No, I said Southern Miss football. Southern Miss football is coming back with a vengeance.
What happens to Conference USA if everything we're hearing is true? I get it. UAB and those schools are going east. Southern Miss, Marshall are going to somebody. If all of that is true, what happens to Conference USA?
Turn out the lights.
Michael's got a toilet flushing soundbite up on that computer. I think is that's what you're hearing. Yeah, but
if that happens, Luke, if that happens, they have nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, the presidents that, you know, that have refused to replace leadership at the top level, I mean, this is what you get. This is what you get when you don't have a plan. I mean, there's a couple of things they've done to try to be innovative, but it really hadn't worked. And, you know, the guy that we always liked, Merton Hanks, I mean, he left, you know, and other people.
Russ Anderson, we lost.
Yeah, and so there's been really no, you know, visionary leadership. You look on the other hand with the Sun Belt, there has been. And that's why that, so anytime a conference can look at another conference and say, no thanks, they hold the upper hand. And that's what we've seen really in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, where the Sun Belt, you know, just, yeah, we don't want that. And the American says, all right, we're not going to merge with you. We're just going to go grab six of your teams. So Conference USA now, other than probably the MAC, is the least leveraged conference in the country.
Agreed.
The MAC has kind of gone down, hadn't it? I know you're familiar with that, being from the Midwest, Kelly. One time the MAC was a pretty prominent conference, I thought.
Well, actually, I think they're pretty much where they've been. You know. Right. But the thing with the MAC, my impression of the MAC is they're totally fine with where they are. It's kind of like, we don't care that our real estate value hasn't gone up. It hasn't gone down. We're good. If you don't want to move into our neighborhood, we're good with that.
Because all they have is the Big Ten. I mean, in some ways, they're able to do that. So, in Conference USA is in the middle of a blueprint of the American. They're in the middle of a blueprint of the Sun Belt, and they're in the middle of the blueprint of even Big 12, but the SEC dominates everything. So the MAC, you know, they can have their little Tuesday night, Wednesday night action, you know, get on television, do their deal, because ultimately they're just, you know, it's basically little Big Ten. I mean, that's the way it is. And, you know, that's an okay place to be. It's just what all these conferences are competing for eyes in the biggest, heaviest, saturated part of football in America.
All right, Kelly Sanders at Bocoma Casino tomorrow in Sandersville with Gerald McGrath on the show, former NFL star and big-time Golden Eagle, and your producer. We got a new producer that's going to be going with
Will the Thrill Tony will be with us
there
tomorrow.
There we go. We're glad to have Will on the team, and Mike will be producing, kind of overseeing the production, but Will will be field producing with Kelly from Sandersville in a great interview with a great Golden Eagle tomorrow. Look forward to it. Until then, everybody, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
Like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.